Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Mim.
Hey, Scarlett.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to Style Over Substance.
We're just two friends talking about our experiences working inside the fashion industry and also our observations from outside the fashion industry. It's sometimes serious, but it's definitely always a good laugh.
Always. We release new episodes every Tuesday.
So subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platforms.
Well, we don't know if it's gonna work yet.
Well, we also said that last time when we never posted the video, so.
Oh yeah, that's true, because it was terrible. Yeah
Oh my god.
So this is our first ever podcast recording of over 2 years that is actually in video format
and in person. Was that yes, that's true.
Yeah, that is true, actually. It's very weird.
It's really weird. I don't know where to look. So we do actually like each other.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a long time coming.
It is. And I feel like, even though, I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like the fact that we've managed to keep up with this podcast for a substantial amount of time kind of puts us in like the top 5% of all podcasts ever started.
Yeah.
Just for this, if we consistency's sake, okay?
Yeah.
But the fact that we've done so well in this regard, we have done terrible in, like, actually producing content that the algorithm demands.
Yeah.
And we've also learned that we are not IT support.
No, we've had some technical difficulties today, for sure. But we're here. We're trying. This is us trying.
Yeah. It will get better with time. I mean, if anyone's listened to our podcast from the beginning, they will know it was very, very slow progress.
Yeah, and hopefully we've got better at speaking.
I think we have.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I say the word like a lot less.
Yeah, I don't think you've done it yet.
I haven't done it yet.
You're thinking about it.
Oh, no. What's your fashion story?
So my fashion story is about the company that owns Net-a-Porter.
Mm-hmm.
So they, if you didn't know,
so the Yuke's group.
Yuke's Net-a-Porter, yeah. They were basically merged. So you had Net-a-Porter, and they were Net-a-Porter, the main brand, Mr. Porter, and the outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually had a majority stake, was bought of that group by this other conglomerate called Richemont, like years ago.
Oh.
And they own like Cartier and like other jewelry brands and like watchfinder.com and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also owned and acquired and merged together with Net-a-Porter Yuke's. So they're like the outlet, the Italian version or something. Well, recently what's happened this week is that Richemont has sold their stake to Farfetch. Yeah. So far,
a competitor.
No, that's the thing. It's not really a competitor. So Richemont own brands like LVMH or Kering does, yeah, or whatever. Farfetch, although they've been slowly acquiring like small niche brands, they are in essence a tech platform.
Yeah.
So they don't compete with Richemont. And the thing is...
But they compete surely with Net-a-Porter.
Well, no, they don't. So they... Richemont really struggled with Net-a-Porter. And I think, to be honest, they were running it at a loss from what I've read.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because e-commerce platforms are fundamentally like tech companies. It's all about the logistics, just in time, like... how the website performs, how it suggests things to you, like all of that you have to be really in tune with. And Richemont, just that wasn't their bread and butter. Mm. They just didn't know how to do that sort of thing. And so they struggled with, like, I remember a few years ago, they struggled with like this whole like migration of their tech platforms and stuff. And so one of the ways they... Net-a-Porter used to make a lot of money is hosting websites for like Moncler and like all these other like luxury brands that again were too small to like manage that themselves.
Yeah.
So as a result of like lots of tech issues, they've kind of started losing that side of the revenue because they're shit at it, basically.
Yeah.
So Farfetch has come in because Farfetch is like the king of luxury retail tech. They're always advertising to us through Instagram and, like, YouTube influencers.
Yes, permanently. Permanently.
All the time. 24/7. It's like...
I've got a Farfetch code for you.
I know. I mean, I have to admit, their kind of, like, promotion is on a level with, like, Savage X Fenty. You know how it's, like, everyone in their job has a discount code.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if I were to search right now for a Farfetch discount code, I would find one.
Yeah, exactly.
I even think I followed found this girl the other day, and she just had her discount codes in her, like, bio. It wasn't even like, oh, you need to consume my content to find it. Like, here you go, here's my three codes I've got currently.
Because it's like an affiliate link, isn't it? So they get paid off for every... Yeah. Whatever you buy from Farfetch. So Farfetch has acquired them. Farfetch is like, they're like the ones that are making this like a lot of money in the industry at the moment, and it makes sense. I think that they're gonna probably bring, because now at the moment they have all these actual brands that are using the websites. They have the likes of like Mr. Porter and Net-a-Porter, which are department stores, let's say. And then Farfetch, their whole business is, we connect small little boutiques with you so you can get whatever you need. So now they've, like, dominated every aspect. It's insane.
That is insane. I wonder if we're going to see more discount codes for the likes of Net-a-Porter.
Well, maybe. To make their money back, they'll probably be like, we need to run a fucking massive sale.
Because you don't find that as much with Net-a-Porter. And I know that for Farfetch, like... A, they guess have to confirm it with all their boutiques, or they're taking their own cut or whatever it is. But Farfetch always does have a code, and Net-a-Porter very rarely does.
Yeah. I think that's because their business models are completely different. Yeah. So, like,
they're attracting different customers as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the way they work with brands is different though as well. Like, if you've been on YouTube and you see those like influencers, like, if you're not aware, Farfetch, you know, like. Like collates and brings together all these different like small stores. So I think these small stores appreciate the added traffic that discount codes bring them. Whereas when you're buying you're buying stock merchandise directly from, I don't know, Theory or like Joseph or whatever. A lot of these brands want to protect their brand and say you cannot run too many discounts on my stuff. I mean, that's the reason why like Chanel doesn't go on any of these platforms and stuff. And I know that like at Net-a-Porter, like Balenciaga used to do like discounts and they don't, and Gucci and stuff and they don't now. And that's to protect the brand. So I don't know. It's a pretty big acquisition.
It's huge. I wonder what we'll see from that.
Yeah. I don't know. What is your fashion story?
My fashion story is that I'm just talking about the Anja Heinmarch village.
Oh, yeah.
So they have a cafe. They have, I mean, all sorts. But recently they've done this ice cream campaign where obviously, well, not obviously, but Anja Heinmarch has done like bags reminiscent of some of our favorite cereals, food. Like, yes. There's been like the right. Is it Rice Krispies or like the Frosties bag?
Yeah.
Then there's been like maybe Cocoa Pops or like Kellogg's, whatever it is. I think it's those like sequin bags, and like she's done stuff to do with like foods that we know and love. There's been the Polo Tube bag and all this stuff. So she's created ice creams of loads of this stuff.
Yeah, I've
and
seen
it
this.
Just feels like the weirdest thing, but also she is becoming like this concept designer, and it's like so much more. And there's this real experience you can get if you go to Belgravia, which like not many designers do this.
No, like we were talking about how she is, I don't know, she is more of like a big ideas kind of designer, kind of like, I think, has Stella McCartney done something similar in the past?
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't mind betting like that she's collabed or done work with Stella as well. Like,
she gives
I
me Stella like, McCartney vibes for some reason. But yeah, she's always putting on these really big like displays. I think we mentioned like the cloud.
Yeah, her moment. Chubby heart that gets erected in Marble Arch, is it?
Yeah.
Like for Valentine's Day or different things, and yeah, have all these things. I think then I swear they might have done something for Ukraine. Like they just like make these moments that not only are Instagrammable, but they're like these like user experiences.
Yeah.
That it's just really unique. And also like I feel like more people buy into probably this village than her bags this point.
I was gonna say, who buys her bags?
Yeah. Like I love her designs, but equally like for me, her designs, I like her playful designs. So that stuff, I'm not going to go spend like 400, 500 plus quid on something that's actually just playful. But I would go and have an afternoon tea where like the pastry's got googly eyes on it, or like my coffee looks like whatever and it's playful. I think that's way more fun. Or going and trying Marmite flavour ice cream. And then of course you're going to post about that.
Yeah.
And it just brings people into, like, her world.
I really like what she does. I think she demonstrates that she has ideas and creativity and execution outside of fashion.
Yeah.
Which we've spoken a lot about how, I want to say small brands, but you don't have to be that small at all. Like, even the likes of, like, Victoria Beckham and Stella McCartney and all of that, these size brands can really struggle financially. And the fact that she can kind of like move outside of like flogging handbags and actually put on things that people want to attend is a real testament to her, like her vision and her hard work. Having said that, I mean, I definitely feel like I need to go to the village, but have we moved past the idea of like going to experiences just for Instagram's sake?
I think so. And actually, funnily enough, I was talking to my brother about this earlier. We were talking about how, like, at my workplace, I get called a bit like the old person, even though I'm not. I'm definitely not.
So it's the really rich and really old.
I've also got no friends.
Of the office, he has no friends.
I don't get bullied at work, guys. Or do I? No, but, like, it's, like, the joke of, like, because I sort of in between, like, big like senior management, and then like I'm still sort of in the fray of like the younger crowd, but I'm on the older end of the younger crowd. And I think it's more that people are surprised at my age.
Oh, okay.
I think it's more like, oh, that's like, yeah, you're older, like
you're a millennial.
But that's because it's like Gen Z people that we've got. And my brother was joking because he's like got people in his team, in his cricket team, where he's now one of the older guys.
Yeah.
And these young people come in and we would talk about, yeah, like social media is now quite different. And like the apps that people use now, the big app is Snapchat. That is dead in our...
Really?
That's dead in
our
circles.
They've gone back to Snapchat?
Snapchat is what young people use. It's what Gen Z use.
I thought it was just a really small sector of Snapchat.
No.
Like, not small sector of Snapchat, but like small section of younger people today are still on Snapchat.
No. It is their main app.
So like, I actually did see my niece on it.
And
the
like,
other day.
It's like, it's their WhatsApp. Like, they use it as like a WhatsApp group because you can like create groups. It's like, and then, yeah, how we maybe like will send each other a picture via WhatsApp, that it just, it's all on Snapchat.
Snapchat's a little bit stressful for me because of the whole timing out thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, but equally, I guess that's also like the most real thing is like, you can't fake it. You can't like filter it, edit it. You can put the stupid filters on.
The whole reason why we have all these filters is because of Snapchat.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can't go in and like face tune it or whatever. Like, whatever you take in Snapchat, like, is basically what you send. So yeah, it's a huge thing. But also then there's the app Be Real. Have you heard of Be Real?
No.
So it's basically, it's a really, really clever idea. And if we were younger, I think we would use it. I think we still would.
I think we'd use everything.
I think we still would, to be honest. But it's basically the idea that like at one point, maybe it's more than one time a day, but like at a certain time of day, changes I think every day, it will send like just take a picture of where you are.
So they're like challenges. Not challenges, but like...
I think it's more to be like, I'm showing you what I'm doing, but like it could be that you sort of maybe like... People will joke of like, oh, I've been caught meeting up with like my ex that I wasn't meant to. Like, it's that thing of like, oh, you've got to like show what the view behind and in front of the camera.
Really?
I think it's something like that. And you, it basically is then like some reactive thing what you do with all your friends. And it can be like that cool thing of like, what are you guys up to right now?
Oh, okay.
Kind of a thing. But how like it's so instant now that we aren't in that place of this configured timeline. I do think we're moving away from that Instagram moment. Oh my god, that's gonna look so good. I think that's is sort of leaving with the people who were probably midway between Gen Z and millennial, those curated timelines, and the people who are posing with their hair like flicking or like not looking at the camera. I think that's slowly moving away again. And I would say that people are becoming more like, these are some collections of photos. I'm not trying to be perfect, because actually, even from an influencer now, I don't want you looking picture perfect. I kind of want to look like, obviously certain things look nice that way, but you also just want someone to be real.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I get what you mean. It's really difficult because it's like, to what extent does like performative realism begin and end?
Yeah.
Like, when you're trying to look real and trying to look candid, you're putting it on, you're trying a bit harder and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, for me personally, maybe it's just, like, because we grew up, you know, seeing the development of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and Clubhouse and all these other ones. I think I still appreciate going places and taking nice pictures of where I am.
But I think that's human nature. I think we have to remember that is like, our parents took photos before there was the internet and social media. You take nice pictures because you want to capture memories. But I would also say now that like, even I used to be way more susceptible to like, I do my makeup nicely and I'll take pictures of myself. And now it'll be like, yeah, because I like my makeup. It's not to be like, I'm going to post that. Like, the amount of photos I probably have taken now that don't go anywhere, whereas before that would be, like, the real driving force behind it. But, yeah, I just think also it's nice to capture good moments and memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Let's go to the village.
Yeah, we should. Maybe, like, a...
live podcast. We couldn't even figure this out. How can we do that?
Like, Anya, do you wanna host our live podcast event? My god, that is gonna go down on my list of things, like next to the Chanel advent calendar.
Yeah,
things we need to, we need to do and make.
We interrupt this broadcast to say, go follow us on Instagram. Our handle is @StarLovesOfSubstancePod. There you'll find our weekly fashion topics, all the stuff that we discuss in each episode, and our polls.
or reach out to us at styleoversubstancepodcast@gmail.com for new suggestions of topic discussions, or even to share your own fashion stories. We also have a YouTube channel, Style Over Substance Podcast, if you'd rather listen to our episodes over there.
Back to the episode.
So we are discussing luxury, right?
Yeah.
Luxury quality versus branding versus marketing. So basically, what are you paying for?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you pay that?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, did you buy your Hermes bag because you believe it's the best quality handbag that there is to offer? Or have you bought it because that is what marketing has led you to believe?
Yeah, definitely. And like, what's like our motivations to wanting to buy into luxury? I think we've never really broached this topic head on.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about maybe which brand is seen to have the best quality.
Yeah.
And why people say they've bought into certain brands and certain labels and whatnot. But really, when we think about it and we examine our own behaviour and our own buying trends, does that measure up? Like, for example, we saw like a couple of TikTok videos earlier today. Yeah. And it was this leather tanner, and he also makes leather pieces, and he was explaining, he was kind of like dissecting various luxury items and telling his like viewers, like, this is actually made out of really nice leather quality, and the grade of this leather is actually really good. However, this product, it's not as high quality as you're led to believe, and blah, blah, blah. He went into Hermes and he bought this like kind of coin purse.
Yeah.
Really kind of basic constructed coin purse. And he said, actually, like, I have to admit, this calf skin is actually very nice. It's like top-notch leather. And I'm surprised that Hermes, as big as they are, have managed to produce items of still exceptional leather. And so when people say, I buy Hermes because they're like classic and the quality is amazing, and also the idea of like, you have to wait to get your bag because there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
And because they're handmade, there is some truth in that.
Yeah.
And by the same token, I think when we look at other brands and they're really expensive and we go, oh, don't know why it's so expensive. Half of what you're paying for is just the brand name. It's just the, for them to put like embossed Chanel on it. You know, they could be 100% right, but for some people they don't care.
Yeah.
Like they happily pay for the brand name.
Yeah. It's such a funny one. Cause I'm sat there thinking like, I know all of this, yet there is still an element of me that aspires to have something from Chanel when I know, and like this guy said in his TikToks, you could go to a market or a totally different shop, or like even someone on Etsy could be making something in nicer leather than some of these wallets. And especially wallets or small leather goods tend to not be high quality leather. So that is something to consider, like what, like, it's just you don't normally use the best leather quality or SLGs.
Mm-hmm.
But even with my knowledge of the industry, even with the knowledge that, like, it's not the best quality, there is still something about owning something from Chanel. So that can only then be their branding.
Yeah.
And that can only then be their marketing or whatever the universal statement is, that Chanel is something to be aspiring to. It is, I don't know, like they've done something right there, because I have all the information. This is what this reminds me of, when you like someone and you know they're not right for you and you know all this stuff on paper that you're like, I don't want to be treated like that and that, and then you're like, but I still like them. That is what that feels like with Chanel.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, when you like work for certain brands that are considered to be luxury, and we've discussed this many a time before, and they have like their own sample sales, yeah. or they have like their staff sales, and you can get a bag which is normally like £500 or up for like £20, mm. and for whatever reason they might just be, you know, flogging
shifting
it,
dead stock.
Yeah, shifting dead stock, whatever. But you know that like what the markups are,
yeah.
It, I don't know what it is. It's like a feeling that you can't explain. You still want to buy into certain brands because, and I think we were talking about it last week, like you are able to buy into a new social status. Mm. And that is like, in the world we live in, capitalism, that's what you grow up.
Yeah.
That's what you grow up in. That's everything around you. You can't shift that feeling. Like that is the only aspiration that we're led to believe that matters, mm. is like, can you create a life better than you already have? And yeah. one of those ways you do it is when you can buy exceptionally expensive stuff.
Expensive shit.
yeah.
That is so true. It's so true.
But, yeah, so I was wondering, what are your thoughts on a lot of people who, let's take Balenciaga for a second, mm-hmm. because I think they're like probably the most obvious culprits of this. Do you think a lot of Balenciaga's customers who buy, you know, the trainers, the t-shirts, the, not even the couture, but like the really expensive yeah. sportswear, let's say, do you think people buy it for its quality? Do you think they actually think, even I know that I'm just buying a basic t-shirt, I think this t-shirt will last longer?
I think they'd hope that because of the price tag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I would hope that. But the reality is, I'm not buying a Balenciaga t-shirt because I'm going to wear it every week for the next 5 years because yeah. it's a quality item.
Yeah.
You're buying it because you want to be wearing a Balenciaga t-shirt. And so I think that, like, I think because it's part of that, like, fast fashion, luxury fashion-esque, like, vibe, I actually think it almost gets away with it too, because it is just this, like, far shot. It's really cool to wear a Balenciaga t-shirt one day. Then it's going to be cool to have the off-white thing. Like, it's part of the logo mania of, like, one thing's cool one week, one thing's cool the next, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't imagine there are many Balenciaga customers going, It's really good quality, like, that's why I'm buying it. I think they're buying it because they like the design and they're jumping on the trend.
Yeah, yeah.
You would hope that their quality, I would say maybe, do you remember the Balenciaga, like, sock trainer shoes?
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine people excused the price tag on that because they would be quality, like, good quality shoes and that they would last. But I also don't know if they were.
Yeah.
I imagine they would, like, with all luxury things, I imagine and I would hope that the price tag and quality work together mm-hmm. and are synonymous. And I would imagine that they are a level above, like, the tier or the category below them. You would hope so.
Yeah, of course.
But things fall apart, and how nice can a t-shirt or a sweatshirt be?
How much bad press or like examples of bad quality does a brand have to get before people actually think, me buying into this brand no longer outweighs the average quality? Does that make sense? Like, yeah. right now, if it's average quality, but buying into that brand makes you feel special somehow and you're willing to pay a premium for that branding, when does the, like, tables turn and people feel like that branding is nothing to me because the quality is so shoddy?
I just think customer loyalty is, like, the crux.
Okay.
Like, I'm even thinking of, like, Pretty Little Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly a shit show.
Yeah, that's...
Like,
in the price. But then when you think of the price, is like, I've worn it once.
But everybody knows that this is creating, like, factory workers to be minimum pay, like, all of this stuff. Like, they know there's issues with it. Like, there is the fast... Like, we all are now aware people can't claim they don't understand fast fashion or the effects of it. I think we're all aware, especially the people who are buying into like clothes from these websites. Mm-hmm. I think they are aware, but they still do it. Like, people go to Primark and they still buy stuff from there, even though, of course, the quality is not going to be great. And they know it's probably been made under like certain conditions. And also there is obviously the factor there of like needs must and financial stuff.
Yeah.
But I just still think like the loyalty of people wanting to buy crap from Pretty Little Thing is kind of like the same when it comes to your brand loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if you are maybe in our category of you're going to be saving for a significant period.
Okay.
And like, say then I'm going to buy into Prada.
Yeah.
And I go and splash like £2,000-£3,000 in a bag.
Yeah.
And that falls apart a few months like after buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy from there again.
Yeah. I was thinking that. I was like, I think that people have to be scorned for the first time, at least.
Yeah.
They have to personally feel it.
And feel the financial blow of it too.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
if you throw money around, you'd kind of be like, oh well, yeah. a bit more. Yeah.
Definitely. The reason why I brought that up is there's been like discussions surrounding Telfar bags versus Hermes bags, and it came off the back of Beyoncé's new album.
Yeah.
And she has like a lyric in one of her songs. I don't think I've listened to this track, but I've seen other people discuss it. And she basically says how like all her Birkins are in storage and it's all about Telfars now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
The backstory of Telfar is that it's this, you know, black-owned American brand.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He's from Liberia, but whatever. And popularity for these bags have risen a lot in the past like 4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think they were known for being like the it bag of New York. Like,
okay. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, every girl in New York had like a Telfar bag and it was like cool and trendy. And then I think with the rise over like COVID period and Black Lives Matter, the need or the desire for people to support black owned and minority owned businesses really entrenched brand loyalty for Telfar bags, which makes sense, and I completely like get that. I don't own a Telfar bag. And so when Beyonce, obviously like her, the billionaire, rich, you know, wildly successful woman that she is saying that like, listen, I can get any Birkin I want, they mean nothing to me, they're in storage right now, they're not in vogue, they're not in vogue to me right now. What is a significantly cheaper fake leather bag. It's not leather. It's, I don't know what it's made from, but it's not leather.
Yeah.
Is what I'm into right now, what I'm supporting. And I get lyrically, like, she's putting that brand, that's considerably smaller brand, on the map. And I think that's commendable. I get that. There was discussion of, like, you can't compare the two.
Yeah.
Because, listen, first off, Beyonce has every Birkin issue. Like, you really think she's, like, over Hermes bags?
Yeah.
She's not. Let's not kid ourselves.
First of all, they're only in storage. You can just go get them again.
She hasn't sold them
or got rid of them.
Exactly.
But also, that wouldn't even count if she did, because she can go, like, she's got the money to go buy it anyway.
She could...
That would literally be, like, me having like, I've got a few nice bags, and me just got suddenly going, but this new Zara bag's really nice. But like, that's fine, because I can also go and get one of my nice leather bags at any point.
She has the luxury of choice. Yeah. She has the luxury to be so...
so bolshy.
yeah, and flippant about something that is, you know, what we would consider to be quality and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I saw online someone saying, like, they're not comparable. One is handmade, one is 100% leather, hand-stitched. They last such a long time. The woman who made the argument, and I agree, is that Hermes bags are probably more sustainable in the fact that you can have that bag and have it for the next 50 years and use it.
Yeah.
Whereas a Telfar bag, because it is, as far as we know, of a plastic composition, it doesn't hold up as well. You know, we can't kid ourselves in pretending that a $200-$300 bag is the same as an $8,000, I don't know what it is in the States, like an £8,000 bag, you know. And since then, I have heard of, like, kind of some personal accounts of people who own Telfar bags who say they don't last more than a year, which is sad, because you want to see a small brand, like, do well and be successful and make quality. But I'm thinking, is the hype of Telfar bag, will they experience a hit on their branding and their, like, brand loyalty that they enjoy thus far? Is that going to have, like, a be damaged because their quality is seemingly not up there?
Probably, because they're new, they're more independent, and they probably don't also have the financing to go, right, guys, we've had this feedback, we need to launch, like, a real... So, like, in a bigger company, say, let's, like, Gucci, and it's like, right, we keep getting this feedback, we keep getting complaints on this leather, we're literally going to get our production team to do a research project into these issues. Like, oh my God, this lock keeps rusting. What is going on? Let's speak to the people who are making the lock, who's plating it, the people who are applying it in the factory. What part of that process can we improve? Blah, 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 blah. You're a small independent brand. You can't launch, like, an inquiry into your materials and do these tests, wear trials, all of that stuff. They're probably, like, learning on the job a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, if they've suddenly got, like, a bit more notoriety, and scaling up in fashion is one of the hard... well, in any business. It's so hard to do, but especially if you're in, like, a manufacturing business where you have to suddenly buy much higher, like, quantities of stuff.
Minimums,
but you haven't got that finances in, like... or you have people haven't satisfied those orders yet, but so you're having to pre in front that cash and do all of these orders, preempting things. No doubt Beyonce talking about you in a song has also created more of a buzz and that demand. But what it will mean is then they don't get repeat customers, and they might scale up their business and it not actually be worth their while doing that. I mean, hopefully in time they improve their quality, but also, I think it is really damaging for... I think it's really hard out there, especially... it's like cancel culture, all of that stuff. I think that the big brands, the big luxury brands, are beyond cancel culture.
Definitely, yeah.
Like, even if tomorrow, like, the CEO of Prada has come out to be, like, some misogynistic pig, has, like, abused children or whatever, people are still going to buy from Prada. If you want those shoes, if you want that bag, you're still going to buy it. And you're just kind of going to be like, well, he didn't, like... I don't know, it doesn't even matter. But if you know that of, like, an independent designer... I think there was a Met Gala, not the last one, maybe the year before, the girl that wore the... there was a dress that said something about tax.
Eat the rich.
And then, because they got notoriety out of that dress, they got found to have not paid their, like, full taxes that year.
Oh,
or there was,
God,
like, some drama. And I was like, again, she's a smaller designer, and that could, like, end her. And it's, like, this weird jealousy thing we often have with smaller brands, that we don't let them fly, or we don't give them the same kind of... I don't know, exemptions.
Yeah, that we do with the bigger brands.
I mean, it's like, to get political, it's like the people in America with all the loans being written off, like in the... Like all these like Supreme Court people or whatever it is, where you're just like, oh right, so you're just getting all these loans written off, but there are families who are like literally going without. Like, it's the same sort of principle. Once you get to a certain notoriety, you become untouchable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
what would stop your brand loyalty? What kind of like consumer experience? Okay, say for your Balenciaga bag, what would have to happen to that bag for like you to not want to buy another one?
If I bought an expensive piece and it broke, I would just go back to the shop and be like, I'm sure this is just the only one that's done this. I'm sure it's just like an anomaly.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting it to be a systemic fault of production. I'm just like, you know what, can you send it away? I wouldn't be expected to pay. For me, I would be like, I'm not paying for the repairs because I've already paid for this bag. So then it would
be your consumer experience with them that then might deter 100%, you.
Yeah.
If they'd be not like, the quality of the product, it's the way they go about fixing the problem.
Well, it depends because I would... It's kind of like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
So then if you got another bag from there and it broke again, you'd probably be like, well, I'm not getting my third from there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Like, and I think it has to correlate with how much money I've spent on it as well. Yeah. But yeah, if I had a broken bag and I went to the store and I say, I bought this a year ago, the strap's fallen off. It's not supposed to do that, surely. Can you send it away to get repaired? And they're like, sure, don't worry about it. We'll send it away. We'll bring it back to you, all that. I'll be like, cool. Like, I'm not holding it against them because things happen.
Yeah.
However, if it were like, you know, people complaining constantly about their Chanel leathers cracking and the stitching being wrong and things like that, simultaneously with price increases, I'd be thinking... that brand's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not... maybe I'd buy something small and see how it goes. The thing is, it's like that brand appeal is so... it's such a draw.
Yeah.
That I would be lying if I said, oh, I wouldn't consider a Chanel bag because I've heard so many bad things about it. It's terrible, but whatever.
Yeah, because also in my head, I'm already thinking, okay, well, I'd find out which leathers that is.
Yeah, you're trying to like
I'm just I'm making excuses for this guy.
Like, that's so bad.
Like, oh, you know, but maybe he was going through something at that time, you know.
maybe that poor bag maker was just...
but like maybe it's certain leathers, or maybe that's just like the more fashion ones, and maybe it's not going to be the more timeless classics. Like maybe it's not the style that I want. Because even in my head, I'm thinking quality control issues. That's probably the fun stuff. That's what I'm thinking. It's the seasonal ones.
That's what I've heard.
Because you can afford to skimp on the seasonal stuff because it's the playful, fun things. It's not your bread and butter where it's like, oh, like this is one of our continuous designs, like the Gabriella, like, or Gabrielle, whatever it's called. Where we want people to want this for 10 years. So quality on that's a bit more important than that like fun, like...
you know, in this year, out the next.
The micro bags or whatever it might be.
I think also...
bright colours also are a really difficult thing in terms of leather.
Yeah.
Like, we used to have such issues with getting really pale colours because if you're trying to do something in a certain way, there's only so many attempts you get at getting a colour on leather.
And
the more you coat leather... the more it's likely to crack. So if you want that baby pink, leather, that's probably more susceptible to crack. Or that bright yellow that you've got to make the base white before you then colour over it.
Yeah.
Those are more susceptible to crack than maybe like your navies or your more natural colours that can be made like through certain things. So yeah, I'm making excuses for this boy.
Yeah.
I'm in a toxic relationship with Chanel.
I've also heard, I've heard through the grapevine, for people who are obviously wealthier than me, has said that, we've all seen that Chanel has far more collections a year than what they used to have. And so that constant turnaround of new merchandise and new stock means that production is faster. and you are more likely to find quality issues when there's less oversight because you just have so much more volume to go through.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because actually I've always been someone who checks Chanel's website. I always have. They used to literally just have four drops. It would literally be spring, summer, resort. I'm probably not doing this in the right.
Resort, cruise, autumn,
like,
winter.
There was like cruise and autumn, winter. That was it. Like, they had those four drops and you would wait and see those products from those shows go online. Of course, you can't buy it online, but you would then get to see the selection. Whereas now I think they trickle things through a bit more. I don't even think everything goes on their website anymore. They use their website in such a bizarre way to me. But I know that in store now, they're doing kind of the likes of what Zara might do, or like, oh, come in next week and we've got actually a new style coming in.
Really?
I think so. I think Chanel don't just have those four drops. Like, I think they...
No, they do have more, but I didn't know it was
I don't think it's every week, but I think
like,
it's more...
Net-a-Porter is like, new items on our website every day of the week.
But I think that's sort of Chanel's trying to do some in-between seasonal things that, like, lure you into their store a bit more and stuff. Yeah, and I think that's probably not great, and that's going to affect quality. I mean, I remember I once went into a Chanel store, and I was doing some, like, research for work, and I was checking like what the insides were like, and like, okay, so, you know, because actually the most important thing personally for actually designing a bag is the functionality.
Yeah, obviously.
You want it to look nice, but there's only so many designs a handbag's really ever going to have, because there's a reason that they're designed a certain way, or certain shapes work best, and certain clasps or closures work best. But you want it to have some like really luxury interiors if you're paying a lot for a bag. You want it to have some nice internal pockets, some thoughtful things, all of that. And so that's what we were sort of looking at. And one of the inside zips was a YKK zip. You can find that. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, that's not, I'm not, no,
the,
no, no, no.
The zip on my trousers right now is a YKK zip. These trousers are from Zara. Like,
I don't want a YKK zip on anything I buy that's designer. I'm so sorry. If I don't see the logo on that zip, red flag is going off in my head. And I'm thinking, is this a fake? That's what I'm thinking.
And I would, like, it was the small, like, internal zip in, like, on the, maybe the fabric or whatever. But I was like, I can go buy this from a shop. I could go buy this zip from John Lewis, from a haberdashery. Again, like you said, everything should have, first of all, it's not that hard. You literally buy the zipper end. So it could be a YKK zip for all we know. But you just take that zip off and you put your own little zip head on. All of those touches, like, is what you can do.
Yeah.
And there isn't a Chanel zip factory. Like, but YKK is probably making Chanel zips for them or
but
something.
But the thing is, they are purchasing custom to their brand and for their collection, those zips
I
and those hardware.
I want everything, all the hardware, to have some form of a CC on it. Like, that to me is the, like, height of luxury.
That is, like, what you would expect.
Baseline. So then if they're letting that slip, like, what else are they doing?
You know, one thing I don't like that I've seen, it's been going on for a while, and it just doesn't impress me. And
the hardware?
It's not. It's not a hardware thing. The lining on the inside of bags are no longer leather or suede.
I'm not about that.
And I get that some fabrics are hard wearing and unique, because you're going to throw all kinds of stuff in your bag.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. It's high maintenance, and they, like, can colour things. Or whatever.
Yeah, I understand, but at the same time, I don't really
need a synthetic lining.
It's so bad.
I don't care if it means you can put your embossed logo or some embroidered. No, I might. Yeah, I'm.
I prefer like, you know,
the cotton, felt or something. Yeah,
like the cotton one. Yeah, a natural fabric.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, okay, I get it.
I don't want anything silky.
No, actually, the satin, like the that.
Oh, there's one a bag company I used to work at. We made these like mini suitcases, and those got lined with like a fabric, but it was quite a nice fabric.
Okay,
but yeah, I don't want it basically to feel like the cheap lining of a Zara suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want it to feel like that, because sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. But so like on the TikTok that we were watching earlier, this guy had found the Chanel wallet and he was saying that it was about £1,200 dollars. I can't remember if it was dollars or pounds.
Dollars.
Probably dollars. And for this long, so like can fit notes in, whatever that's called. I guess it's called a long wallet.
Big? Yes.
Large?
Yeah.
Not a coin purse.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah, quilted, got a little silver metal CC on it, got a zip, and it will have some card holders in. $1,200. He's saying that, like, probably the make cost and all of the raw materials would have come to, like, $60, $70. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Chanel a bit more lenience there.
Yeah. Say $100.
Let's say $100 or so. That is a 10 times markup. Mm-hmm. Well, more than.
Yeah.
But, like, I would say that in luxury goods, a 5 times markup is really good margins.
Yeah.
So then if you're going 10 times, like, and obviously it's luxury, they can do what they want. But when you're justifying the price, as he was saying, they were justifying the price on the phone with him for being the raw materials. And he's like, well, I don't think that that is justifying the price.
It's not, because at the end of the day, what he's saying is they could use exceptional quality,
yeah,
exceptional craftsmanship, and still make be, 10 yeah, times yeah, the money
yeah,
on this sort of markup. So yeah, there's not really a reason for them to scrimp.
Yeah.
I think what it comes down to in a lot of cases is mass production.
Yeah.
There is just certain things that can't be done by machine,
yeah,
that can be done by hand. And I think, like, I think, was it last year? Louis Vuitton opened, yeah, because Trump was still around. Louis Vuitton, that's how I remember it, because it was a whole thing. Louis Vuitton opened production in the States for the first time. Okay. So for the first time, instead of saying made in France, made in Italy, I think they make stuff in Italy as well. You could get a bag, and on the tag said made in the USA. Now, listen.
Who wants that? Not me.
I'm so sorry. I don't.
Oh my God, I actually just really don't want a bag that says that.
Not a Louis Vuitton bag. If I'm buying...
I want a Louis Vuitton bag that's either made in France or in Italy.
If I'm buying an American designer, yeah, then yeah, of course. Cool. That makes sense. And that's what you're after.
Yeah.
But not a European
I live way
brand.
Closer to, like, yeah, a European, like...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you lived in the UK, then you would be getting them made in France and Italy
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in the made in the US. But it's for the American market, essentially. Mm. Yeah, I just don't... I don't see why brands of that size and that caliber even need to be jeopardizing the quality. Yeah. And then when you compare it to, I mean, like, you know, small independent businesses that aren't asking for those prices.
Mm.
It just doesn't add up. But we're still, like, idiots. We're still gonna buy this shit.
But also, I can see Americans loving that.
Do you think that?
Because I don't think they. I think the difference is I don't think they care that it's made in France.
Why do you say that?
I just think that they're buying into the brand.
But part of the allure of the brand is that it's a European, like, far-flung, like, romantic destination.
I don't know if they see it that way.
Really? I mean, I don't see it that way, yeah, because it's just France.
But I don't think I see many brands for where their make come from. If I bought something from Tom Ford, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, this is like some American.
But I think fashion nerds do, yeah, though.
Maybe fashion nerds, but I also think Louis Vuitton is so bought into that it's not a fashion nerd brand. Like, it is like the entry drug into luxury fashion. The amount of Americans that own, like, Louis V's.
What do you
like,
think?
Like, that is the bag they get, like.
What do you think the allure of Louis Vuitton is, though? Because I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. Don't, like, honestly.
And it's not to say I don't like the bag. I just couldn't describe what the allure of it is.
I couldn't tell you because I don't want... Actually...
Yeah, don't mind.
No, I was going to... Actually, this is true. I don't want one of their plain leather bags.
No.
if I were to ever buy anything from there, it would have some form of the monogram on it.
Yeah, I'd have to have monogram.
But I don't really like the monogram bags. I like the new monogram with the two colours.
Oh, okay.
I like sort of like the refresh monogram. That's maybe the... Or I'd go for like a little hat box, a little mini hat box. I'd go like that. I'd that's go the cute. Luggage route.
The
I don't want a speedy. I don't want a speedy. I think like that killed me in the, like the 90s or the noughties. Like the bowling bag. What?
I get that. But it's I do like a speedy.
It's a great bag, but yeah. All it makes me think of is like they're literally celebs used to wear that with jeans or like the red carpet.
Yeah.
My mum used to have a little flap bag from there, probably like a bit of a sort of saddle bag. So I couldn't possibly want that. I'd maybe get the big holdall, you know. But I don't know what the allure is. Like the Neverfull and all of that stuff. I don't know. I also personally, I'm not super flashy. So the idea of having a very large, I know I've just said I want like their luggage, but I'm not that flashy. I like nice things, but I kind of want to be the only one who knows that I've got something nice.
Oh, I see. You think you're better than us.
That is not why. It's just more because it's for me personally.
Yeah. I like the monogram. I don't think I could buy too much of it because I do think that there's only so much money I can spend on coated canvas.
That's my
limit. But I actually do like the design of the monogram. I think it's got a really cool worn-in heritage look. Like, it ages well. And I think that might be the allure of Louis Vuitton's more classic styles. It has an age to it. And you can get away with it. Kind of like how we like things we'll never be able to afford. But kind of when we talk about people who really use their Birkins.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, the Louis Vuitton, because like all the handles are basically made in like...
the Châtelet leather.
But it's also like it's untreated.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's going to age. And it's just like, so it starts off like this really kind of like insipid, like almost like pale nude colour. Like the colour of like a newborn baby's skin type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But in time, it tans and it wears.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And actually, some people really complain about that with like their handles.
Yeah, and some people
but
love it.
So nice. Mm. And it's amazing. And actually, like, I think that's, again, like... And the canvas sort of wears a bit, but not that much. But I think the handles and all the trims.
Yeah.
And then, if you've got the corners on the bags and all this stuff, that's really nice. I think that's really cool.
It can look beaten in, but still look cool.
So we could be like Mary Kate and Ashley with our, like, beaten up, luggage.
I think that's it. I don't know. There's lots of reasons why... And they're all personal reasons why you would spend a considerable amount of money on... We say this all the time, like, stuff that really doesn't matter. It's just it's just handbags and clothes and stuff. It's not essential. They are just additions to our wardrobes. And the fact that we spend so much money on them, you really have to have a big driving force or motivation to want to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
And whether that is branding and the way that it makes you feel and the social circle that you feel like you have ingratiated yourself in could be one. It could be that it genuinely is quality and you only want to buy this item once or twice and then you're done. And it could be, I don't know, but it has to be like a reason that's worth like a few thousand pounds.
Yeah, you know what I just thought of is I think in certain circles, and it's going to become even worse for younger people because I think they're like those designer bags are rife everywhere at the moment.
Mm.
But I grew up when my mum had maybe one or two nice bags. I think you had the same where your mum like would have one or two nice bags. So I feel like part of it is a little bit like, okay, the societal thing is you grow up, you find someone, you get married, you buy a house, you maybe have children, you maybe do this, like you do X, Y, and Z. You go on a few holidays a year. Like there's this archetypal life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think for some people, the tick box in there is also designer. Like to have a nice bag. Like for me, like for you, you've got like yours is a nice watch, like, or whatever. Or there are certain goals And like, I've definitely grown up with certain goals that is almost like comparable to me as to owning a property. It's like,
yeah.
And like for me, and I know for you with your watch, I'm buying that Chanel bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not being gifted to me. Like, I don't want to be gifted a house. You can, yeah. But like, I also but I also want to earn that.
Yeah.
And I think people, some people have it with cars. Some people, maybe it's handbags. Some people, whatever it might be. Some people want that second property. But I think it's joining people's list of things they want in their life.
Yes.
Because I think everyone aspires to something like that from some degree, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Whether it's a car, whether it's a watch, someone's got that aspirational item.
It's the ability to be able to afford it.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
I think that's it. I think it's what it represents.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's what it represents. It's maybe it's parting with that cash. It's maybe like, I own something from that. I remember I bought like a £100 ring from Chanel and I was like, I've gone into a Chanel store and I bought something. Yeah, like, yeah. That was a great feeling. I bought the cheapest thing in their store, but it still gave me something. Like,
yeah.
I think it's that kind of a thing that people, yeah. I think that's a huge element of it for more regular folk.
Yeah. For wealthier people, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not one of them.
I would say that I think after a certain amount of time, they probably would get cross. But also, if you are in the region of having like 50 handbags, you're not using it that often for it to have issues. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I'm buying a Chanel handbag, that becomes my daily handbag. Or it becomes my handbag I wear a lot and I'm going
to
use it a
lot. And you're
lot.
More likely to baby it because it's like your
Yeah,
one big
and you
purchase.
Look after it because, yeah, and you're going to like keep putting it in its dust bag at night and all of that stuff.
You're going to see any flaws in it that other people
Whereas if
not.
You just have loads of these bags and you're like, yeah, oh, okay, I'll wear my pink one tonight. And then, yeah, okay, I'll get the Birkin out. I'll get this, I'll get that. Beyonce will have to get them out of storage.
I mean, what a great problem to have. Do you know what I mean?
So that's probably how these brands get away with it. Because
that's such a good... Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like... And we've spoken how luxury fashion becomes more and more like fast fashion consumption. Mm. It's like if you're going to collect every colour of Birkin... I'm not saying that Hermes is shit quality. I don't know. But if you're going to collect every colour or every heart-shaped Chanel bag from... last collection, or you know, have a collection of whatever bags, whatever brand that you like, then yeah, you're just it matters less to you. Maybe, probably, yeah.
We'll one day know. Manifest
yeah,
it,
sure.
We'll get out of our toxic relationship with Chanel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still buying a Chanel,
yeah, exactly.
I'd be lying if I said I'm not.
So I guess maybe the poll could be, like, what would deter you?
Yeah. What is a big, like, not red flag, but, like, a big no-no?
Or, like, with the Telfer thing of, like, would a big thing like this deter you from buying from a brand?
Well, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Style Over Substance, guys.
Don't forget to check out our Instagram or Spotify to respond to this week's poll.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.